Glad you're with us today. If you want to turn in your Bibles, we're going to be looking at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to finish up this morning our study on 1 Peter 3 on the relationship between a husband and a wife. I know. If you are a guy, you may want to say, uh-oh, because this morning is for you. All right? You know what? I have you sit, and now I'm going to have you stand. Okay? So you are just about ready to fall asleep. Stand with me, okay? Because I want to read this passage this morning as we review the six verses we've already looked at for the wives. I want to read it responsively this morning. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'll begin with verse 1, and then you read verse 2. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands. May be seated. Now, before we read verse 7, and we're going to do that this morning, I want to dispel the incorrect thinking that I know many of you husbands are thinking at this very moment. Incorrect thinking will always bring forth wrong conclusions and incorrect actions. So, husbands, do not think that because Peter wrote six verses to your wife and only one verse to you, that your wife is more needy than you are, all right? That is not true. On the contrary, as Judy and I have done much marriage counseling over the years, from my experience, for every verse written for the woman, there should be a chapter written for the guys. So, yes, Judy knows. She's been there with me. So why are there less verses for the guys than for the ladies? Well, Peter, being a man, understood this to be true. Men can only handle little bits of information at a time. No, that is not true. Well, yes, that is true, but that's not the reason why Peter wrote it this way. We need to remember that Christianity was still relatively new when Peter wrote this letter. And these Christian wives were experiencing whole new situations and needed guidance. As you may remember, they were living within the Roman society, the Roman culture, which put women down. And with now they found these new freedoms in Christ, that created new problems and challenges. Plus, many of these Christian believers that he's writing to were married to unsaved husbands, just like some of you are. And they needed that extra encouragement and direction from Peter. Now, before we look at verse 7 this morning, which we're going to do, I'm going to ask you again to just take a moment and ask God to minister to you today. And ladies, let me just say this. Just because this message is for your husband, don't underestimate the power of God's word, and that he also has something he wants to say to you today. And husbands, know that God brought you here today for this message. It's not by happenstance or whatever that you just happened to walk in here. God before eternity even began, which it never began, but before creation, is what I wanted to say, God knew you'd be here today. And he knew I would be speaking this message today. So you husbands, take good notes today so that God can do what he wants to do in your life. So take a moment, ask God to speak to you, whatever, and minister to you today in a way that only he can minister. And then we'll look at verse 7. So God, we come before you because we are needy. We're needy collectively, but we're also needy individually. And I just pray, God, that you would open every one of our hearts today. Open our ears to listen. And then give us the desire to apply the very things that your Holy Spirit will say to us today. Not only for our sake, for the sake of our spouse, for the sake of our families, and for the sake of those people that you bring into our lives to influence. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 3 says this, "Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers." 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. The title of our message this morning is the same, is also my main point, and that is this: in the same way. In the same way. What way is Peter referring to? Do you remember? We don't have that long to wait, okay? But in the same way that in verse 7 refers back to verse 1 when he told the wives in the same way. And remember we said when these letters were written, they write letters like we do, all right? It's not chapters and verses like we put them in the Bible to help people to understand. But it was written in the letter. And what do we say when he told the wives in the same way, what was he referring to? Christ, that's right. Earlier in his letter, or in chapter 2 in our Bibles, he is referring to as God, Jesus Christ, submitted to his Father. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands. So Peter is saying, just as your wife follows Jesus submission when it comes to you, you are to follow in the same way, that example of submission when it comes to your wife. Now, Peter's going to give us three different areas of life where the husband is to submit to the needs of his wife. Ways that you husbands are to submit to serve your wife and care for her needs. Now, this outline isn't original with me. I stole it from Peter, all right? First thing he says is this: be considerate. Be considerate. Considerate carries with it the idea of wisdom and understanding. Guys, you need to know and understand your wife. Some are saying impossible. I hear that, you know. You will never arrive, all right? Believe me. But you should be a lot better today than you were last week or last month. Now, if I gave Judy an opportunity to speak this morning, which I will not, She would tell you that when we first got married, I was in a total different hemisphere when it came to wisdom and understanding. But I think Judy would also tell you, not so much anymore. And neither should it be for you. To understand your wife means that you must make time for her. The Office for National Statistics tell us that on average, couples spend 2 to 2.5 hours a day together. Now, some of you work together and you do a lot more than that. But consider this, and for some of you think, well, that's not bad. But if you were to deduct watching TV together, cleaning your house, making meals, eating those meals, mowing the lawn, being on social media, bringing work home, how much of those 2 to 2.5 hours are really spent gaining wisdom and understanding? Now, I know you didn't come to church to go back to school, but I'm going to give you a real quick class here on consideration 101, all right? Put the cell phones down and talk to each other. Hide the remote, TV remote, until you have actual interaction, conversational time with your spouse, with your wife. And you say, well, what do we talk about? I mean, after I ask her how her day is, I'm done. So what do we talk about? Well, you know what? Some of the nice things to talk about is this. Talk to her about what God's doing in your life. You know, a good number of us are doing quiet times together. Tell your spouse what you get out of your quiet time that morning. Surprise her. And take her away for a weekend. Or plan a date night. You know what? Be willing to break your routine and do something that she might like to do. Maybe it might not be that drastic. But you know what? It shouldn't matter to you. Do something that she wants to do, even if you don't want to do it. Gaining wisdom and understanding doesn't just happen. It takes a plan. It takes effort on your part. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 31. And let me just tell you this morning, that one flesh is much more than just sexual. Yes, it is physical, but it's also an emotional and spiritual oneness with one another. You say, and maybe you're here this morning, you say, I still don't get it. Let me say this. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Gentlemen, no one loves you more than God does. No one wants to spend more time with you than God does. And no one wants to help you more than God does. So husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. Secondly, be respectful. Be respectful. Treat them with respect, Peter says. Now, the word treat has a very special significance. It carries with it the idea of giving honor to your wife, not because you're expected to, but you do it because it is due her. Peter repeats this idea again when he uses the word respect. The word respect carries it with it the idea of price or precious. It indicates value and esteem. So you treat your wife with respect because she is of great value or very precious to you. If your wife is of great value to you, you will never speak of her in a derogatory way. You will never tell a joke about her that degrades her or makes her feel bad or look bad. Not only in private, but especially in public. You will never hear Judy degrade me, complain about me, or tell a joke about me that will cast me in a bad light. And my friends, that should be true of you, husbands, when it comes to your wife. Now, when Peter writes about the weaker partner, he's not referring to her mental state, all right, or her moral or spiritual condition. Matter of fact, in our case, Judy's in my case, she excels in all three of those areas beyond me. So what is Peter referring to? Well, he's referring to the obvious. He's writing about her physical condition. Although it's not always true, but in most cases, the husband is stronger physically than his wife. So because of that, the husband should treat his wife as an expensive, fragile, precious treasure. That's what Peter's saying. For some of you, this may be difficult. For others, hopefully not, because it's still happening. But do you remember, guys, when you were dating your wife before you married her? Do you remember running around the car so you could open the door for her before she got in? Yeah. Do you remember going into the restaurant and letting her go in first instead of allowing the door to hit her on the backside? Do you remember those days? Do you remember looking forward to just being with her? Do you remember being a gentleman? Maybe it's time for some of us to become a gentleman again. Recognize those things for her that she does just for you and stop taking her for granted. Maybe it's time for some of you to be respectful and treat them like they are of great value to you. Then Peter says, treat them as heirs with you. Now, Peter's not referring here to eternal life. He's referring to the wonderful gift of a godly marriage. If the wife will follow Peter's, well, it's not really Peter's, it's God's instructions. But if the wife will follow God's instructions in verses 1 to 6, and husbands get verse 7 right, and they walk in the same way in submission to Christ, then they will experience a blessed and wonderful marriage as joint heirs. Now, if they refuse to follow these instructions, they will miss out on God's best. And sadly, they will then become joint heirs of that. The gracious gift of life. We're not entirely sure what Peter may be referring to. And when we meet Peter, that's probably not one of my first questions I'm going to ask him. But He may be referring to children. But even childless couples can enjoy God's gracious gift of a godly marriage if they obey Peter's directive. But if you have children, understand that most children learn how to be a husband and wife from the examples they've seen at home. So dads, granddads, this could apply to your grandchildren as well. Be considerate. Be respectful. Because if your kids get it right from your example, it will be worth it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. 3 John 1 and verse 4. So be considerate, guys. Be respectful. And then thirdly, be responsible. Be responsible. Husbands, Peter says how you respond to these instructions can and will affect your prayer life. Now, we shouldn't be surprised at this statement because we're told throughout the Bible. Matter of fact, the psalmist wrote this, if I had cherished or if I had loved or if I held on to or if I wouldn't let go of sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Psalm 66 and verse 18. Isaiah wrote this. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities, your sins have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. Isaiah 59 verses 1 to 2. And for those of you that think that that's just confined to the Old Testament, well, James tells us otherwise. He says this, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with sinful or wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. James chapter 4 and verse 3. Now, in context, and as we know, context is the most important thing when you're reading Scripture. But in context, the prayers that may be hindered in this passage are prayers for your unsaved husband or your unsaved wife. Now, that being said, the other verses we just indicate that it's not only limited to that, the salvation of your spouse, but it is an indication that how you treat your wife does impact how God responds to your prayers. I can't think of a greater motivation for a Christian husband to be a godly husband and father, the godly husband and father that God expects us to be, than to know that your prayers can be hindered because of the way you treat them. That your prayers for your children and your spouse and your family can be affected by how you mistreat or dishonor your wife. And wives, this can apply to you as well. If you are serious, if you read it in context, if you are serious about your unsaved husband coming to Christ, then you need to live like it. Let me say it again. If you are serious about your unsaved husband coming to Christ, then you need to live like it. So that you have that powerful resource of answered prayer working on your behalf. So men, be considerate. Become a student of your wives. Know their concerns. Know their fears. Learn their likes and dislikes. Find out what their love language is. And grow in your wisdom and understanding of her. Secondly, be respectful. No more jokes. No more stories that put her down in any way. Become familiar with her weaknesses. And then protect her from them. Value her as the precious gift she is. And love her like Christ loves her. Willing to give up his very life for her. Someone said this once, and I think it's probably very true. He said, if you claim to be willing to die for your wife, why aren't you willing to live for her? If you're willing to die for your wife, you know what? She will know if that's true by the way you do live for her. Because if we're not willing to live for her, it's very unlikely that we'll be willing to die for her. So be considerate, be respectful, and then be responsible. Make her proud. Make her proud to be your wife. Bring joy to her countenance and not grief or pain. Don't live your life so selfishly that your prayers are ineffective. Don't refuse these instructions so that your prayers are of little or no value to your wife, to your children, or those people that God has brought into your life to have an influence on. As a husband, make it a joy for your wife to follow your leadership so that you both can benefit from having a godly marriage. In the same way as Jesus submitted to his Father, in the same way as your wife is to submit to you, in the same way, submit to your wife's needs and experience that gracious gift of life God always intended for you to receive. As we celebrated communion today, we were reminded of just some of the reasons we need to be thankful to God. Another reason we need to be thankful to God is the opportunity that he has given us to illustrate his love and commitment to the church through our marriage. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery. But I'm talking about Christ and the church. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31 to verse 32. You and I, as married couples, are representatives of Christ. We are to illustrate in our marriage God's commitment to his church. Could it be that some people in your life are turned off to the church because of the way your marriage looks? Could it be that people are not wanting Christ because they don't see Christ in the way that you treat your wife? A marriage that honors your spouse isn't always easy. They don't always deserve our consideration and respect, but we choose to do it. We do it because it is the right thing to do. When our emotions, when we allow circumstances, and there will be times that even friends will tell us to quit, we choose not to, because we choose to obey God rather than man and rather than even myself. It's difficult, but it's not impossible. Because whatever God asks us to do, he always empowers us. When you feel like quitting, press on. But don't press on in your own strength or what you can muster up. we press on in the name